Welcome to the latest Alfi Finance Next Gen podcast. Each podcast in this series features an exchange between a seasoned professional alongside a next genner. In this episode, we'll be diving into coaching and mentorship, the definitions, how the two are slightly different yet intertwined, and our guests today will be discussing their own personal and professional lives and how coaching and mentorship has had an impact in those. We'll also examine how they can be adapted across diverse organizational structures, including SMEs operating in the financial sector. I'm your host, Natalie Gerritsen, and I'm excited today to be joined by someone who has a familiar name in Luxembourg. She was here for 15 years working in finance and is now based in her home country, Northern Ireland, since 2018. It's none other than Joanna Denton, who is now a life executive and public speaking coach. Joining her today is our next genner, Rode Pugnani, a tax manager at PwC Luxembourg, who is himself a young mentor and coach. A warm welcome and thank you both for joining today.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you, Natalie.
So to kick things off, let's hear a little bit more about each of you. And you don't have to be shy here. Feel free to brag. Feel free to even throw in a fun fact or two. And I'll start with you, Joanna.
Well, thank you. So I'm a coach. I'm a life executive and public speaking coach working with business leaders and entrepreneurs. I help them create a ridiculous life, a life so incredible that to even aspire to it feels ridiculous. But I haven't always been a coach, as some of you listeners will know. Until 2014, I was a tax geek. A tax geek that could make it interesting, specializing in VAT. And then 10 years ago, I had my second burnout in 5 years, decided there was more to life than tax. Rade, close your ears. I know that's a controversial statement. And so I left tax and changed everything and became a coach. Some fun facts. I am the mother to two cats, and I have embarked on a stand-up comedy course, and I'm doing a gig next week. So that's my fun fact for you.
Wow. Keep me busy.
Over to you.
Wow. I guess it's me, the tax geek. Yeah. So I started my career in Chicago, and I moved to Luxembourg about 2.5 years ago. I guess some fun facts about me is that I'm an avid traveler. I love, you know, exploring new countries, new cities with my two best friends. And I have a passion for bartending. Oh. And Joanna, I'm so glad you brought it up. I actually do stand-up comedy sometimes. And it's something I got into because I have a huge fear of public speaking.
Who would have known?
I love that. Well, I tell you what, offline, I will ask you lots of top tips because I'm really nervous about it. But we'll take that offline. Thank you.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. So we're tempted to dive right in, but we'd like to first start off with a question about just the term mentorship versus the term coaching, since they're so often used interchangeably by maybe those who aren't in the know. But for the sake of our podcast especially, let's start with the basic definitions. We'll start with you, Joanna. How do you see them different or complementary?
So the way that I see it, first of all, kind of for me, a mentor is someone who's had more experience and potentially gone down the same road that you might be going along in terms of career progression, for example. And their role is to offer guidance, advice, resources, and to help the kind of mentee in that way by giving them the advice, maybe how they would have dealt with the situation, etc. A coach, on the other hand, for me is slightly different insofar as what they are looking to do is empower the client to find their own answers. And how they're going to do that is ask very broad and wide questions, open-ended questions to help, essentially to help the client quiet the noise that they might have going on in their head, those voices telling them they're not good enough, for example, and to help them just quiet that side so that their own innate wisdom can come through.
So a reflection now, process.
Exactly, very much so. Now, it's possible that the coach in the course of doing that may offer their own views on something or what they might have done, their own experience in the past, but they'll do so with a view to showing a different perspective rather than to say, this is what you need to do. So that's where I see the distinctions.
Okay. And do you see it the same way, Roddy?
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, the way that they're intertwined is that they both seek to help people improve themselves and grow. And I think the way Joanna said is really correct. Like, a mentor is someone who is able to guide you based on their experiences. And a coach is someone who's a bit more formal, but they, you know, really make you question yourself and really try to address specific challenges that you may be having or help you get over and improve, you know, really improve specific skills that you yourself want to improve.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you both. So we'll get down to business now. I'd like to hear sort of what mentorship means to you guys and maybe talk about, I guess, for you, Joanna, how it intertwines with your coaching. But I'd also like to hear maybe from more the personal side, if you're willing to share that.
Yeah, so throughout my career, I've had a number of mentors all the way through, different people that I've worked with, different people inside the same organization, outside. And that's always been incredibly helpful to have a champion in a way, that kind of mentor there. So I've been incredibly lucky over my career to have had a number of different mentors. I've also mentored others in different capacities, be they students, be they younger, more junior people within the team. So in that way, I've always had, I've been able to benefit from that as well. I've also been lucky enough to be coached by people along the way and to develop that. Where I see now the way that the two interact, and I think where there's real power within that is being able to bring in some of those coaching aspects to really understand. I'm going to refer to them as the client, just for the, you know, but that we know that's the colleague or whoever else, but to be able to really understand the client's world so that when the mentor side of it comes in, when the advice giving comes in, then it can be done on a slightly different basis.
Okay. Do you want to add to
that? Yeah. For me, you know, my journey with mentorship has really started, you know, since I was in high school or, you know, very, very young, trying to penetrate into the business world as, you know, a first generation college graduate. And you seek different kinds of mentors at different stages in your life, and they're constantly changing. They don't necessarily have to be the same person throughout your entire life. It's just truly what you want to achieve from having a mentor. For me, it's something that when I look to a mentor, it's what do they have, or what experiences do that they have that I would like to have, or something that I can really, you know, learn from or gain from them. As someone who's been a coachee, I'd say, you know, my first basketball coach was the first time I ever had someone push me, make myself, you know, develop and improve. But then you also have coaching in your personal life when you want to improve something technical. Mm-hmm. And that's something for me is like, for example, learning about the financial markets and things like that. And I've had to get coaching from experienced and seasoned professionals that are able to guide me in this complicated financial sector that we have.
It has me reflecting about my own mentors as well. And we should thank them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't think I would be where I am today at all without the guidance I've received. And definitely a huge thank you to all my mentors.
I think I love what you've been saying there, Radhi. I think I see this as almost like as we go through life, we have this circle of strength around us. We have these people that have our backs and we stand shoulder to shoulder, and they take all sorts of different forms. And I love in particular what you said about the fact that at different stages in our life, we need different people. We're looking for different things, and the richness of that. The richness of those possibilities, and sometimes we may have a conversation with somebody that we've sat down. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, Riley, but even just sitting down in a coffee shop and you start talking to the person beside you, and you realize that they're doing whatever they're doing, and they might say it's one nugget that will act as a mentor for those 5 minutes of the cup of coffee, and then there could be other people that we work with over a series of months, over a series of years, and these people that we're not, as human beings, we're not islands. We have all, you know, we have that innate need for connection and human connection with other people, and to be able to learn from them and have that guidance. Yeah.
Well, completely agree. Thanks, Joanna. For the next question, I want to sort of have more discussion based. Why are these approaches crucial in the workplace? And maybe we focus now specifically on the financial sector. And then as a second part to that, how can organizations effectively foster a culture that supports both mentoring and coaching initiatives?
I think that when an organization, you know, irregardless of which sector it is. I'll start, you know, broad first. I think in any organization and company that puts its people first has already embedded a culture that will allow mentoring and coaching to, you know, foster itself. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that's very, very important. And if you look at the financial sector specifically, historically, it's something that people always hear that all the great financial, you know, dominators in the market, they've all had mentors, coaches. They themselves are, you know, coaching people. And it's something in our industry that's just been there since the beginning. And it's something that I see that is kind of dissipating, but it should come back. And as long as we have a company or organization that puts its people first, it'll allow mentoring and coaching to foster.
Yeah, I'd agree. And the other thing that comes up to my mind as well is we're talking about this in a very kind of formalistic, you know, let me sit down with my mentor and have a conversation about that. And I also remember when I was working in tax, and I'm sure it's the same for you, when I was starting my career and I would go out to meetings with the senior manager, the director, the partner, even the fact of sitting in the room with them and seeing how they would react to clients and would answer questions, there's a mentoring aspect to that as well, because they're leading by example. And so I think to kind of add on your point, that to really foster this, I think it's also for each of us at different levels of career to recognize the responsibility that we have to guide and teach those who are coming through. So even from a relatively junior level of say senior in an accounting firm where you've got a couple of years experience, to already be taking your more junior people out and showing them the way around that. So to the extent that we can really foster that idea of being of wanting to teach, we're already mentoring within that. And I think also another thing that we can really do is foster a culture where we're not just thinking, oh, well, this is the way we've always done it. Mm-hmm. So now you have to do as I do. And it's also having the freedom to think more broadly like that, and to give those opportunities, because that's when the mentoring can come potentially in both directions and whatever else. So I think it is that. I mean, in particular around the more formalizing of that way, I think within an organization to be ready to offer the training to potential mentors and coaches so that they know how to do that. Clearly, there are skills that we learn when we're doing this as well. So I think all of those different aspects can be incorporated within an organization to help really foster those kind of climates.
And something I wanted to add, you know, to Joanna's point is, in addition to it being something that's taught and embedded at the top, I also think it's very important for, you know, the next generation, or, you know, the young people coming into the workforce, to also seek it out. Mm-hmm. Having mentors and coaches, it's currently like an untapped resource. If you go out and you're someone who wants to achieve something, it's very important to have those people in your life and take advantage of who's around you.
So, Joanna, I'd like to know, have mentorship and coaching evolved over the last few decades from your perspective, especially with our understanding when it comes to workplace hierarchy and maybe how that's shifted? Could mentorship be commonly understood as it's top down usually, but could it also be seen as sort of bottom up?
Yeah, I think there's a few things within this. I think, first of all, we talked about the evolution of these aspects over the last few decades. I would say that mentoring has been around for a heck of a long time, even back to the Greek and the Roman times. Primarily between men, there was always that kind of aspect of, you know, of supporting each other and, you know, in terms of networking and those sort of things. I don't think it's necessarily been as widespread for women in the past for various reasons, but that's the subject of a whole different podcast. Anyway. Over the last few decades since I started work, I definitely have seen an evolution within this. Around mentoring, I think, was always there, or always possible in terms of the people within your network. I have seen I do think that as a woman in the late 90s, it was maybe different to today in terms of what support might be available from other women along the way. What do I mean by that? I mean that, so I started work in the late 90s, and I think for a lot of women who were my role models at the time, if they wanted to survive and become a top leader like that, they felt that they had to be like a man in the workplace. That meant competition. That meant who can we step over to get to the top? And therefore, perhaps when I started in my career, if I was looking for mentorship from other women, there may have been this perception of, well, we had to do it the hard way. We've had to work bloody hard to get here. It didn't do us any harm. Over to you to do the same thing. I think now what I've seen for other women in my generation coming through, I think on an ongoing basis, we have tried to show the way a lot more for women coming through than might have been the case for previous generations. I may be completely missing the mark there, but that's certainly the perception I had at the time. So I think there's definitely been always the mentoring around in some form or another. What I have seen over the last number of years since I started my career was a real focus and a lot more of a focus around coaching, coaching more junior staff. And I've seen this with the view of coaching insofar as we're not just going to tell them what to do, because we've always done it like that. We're going to empower them to not to necessarily work it out for themselves, but to empower them to find that innate wisdom and that innate guidance that can help them, because that's going to help them, that it's going to be sustainable change going forward. So there's been a real focus around that coaching. What I'm also seeing, to Rade's point in terms of going out and seeking it, I think it's become a lot more easy now when you're looking for that there are a lot more people ready to step up and become someone's coach or mentor because they know a bit more about what that entails. I think, to Rade's point there, I think that's a very important one that we mustn't forget. Looking for mentors and coaches, this is about taking responsibility for your own destiny, for your own career, and knowing that it's within your hands. And one of the tools that you can use is having that. And then to your point on top down or bottom up, I love this idea. And I it makes me giggle because I realize how I like to think of myself as not being very biased. And I also recognize that I have blind spots. And I think certainly, I hope that now 10 years on since I left tax, it's different. But I think that at the time, I must have been a blooming nightmare to work for. To be honest, for various reasons, obviously, you know, I had different burnouts and so on. But I think I was incredibly demanding. I think I put myself under enormous pressure and I brought that down further on in the team. The idea, okay, I can laugh at this now because I'm 10 years on, but the idea of a junior member of staff daring to suggest that they could have taught me something about how life was, I mean, I would have, I'm sorry, I'm getting all in a, listeners, you can't see this because we're not on video, but I'm getting all of a kerfuffle at the very thought of someone daring to suggest that they might know something better than me. Now I can appreciate the fact of that blind spot. And now 10 years on, as I hit 50 and beyond, I love the idea of that intergenerational learning and sharing of experience and seeing different ways around it, particularly in my previous field around tax and working with technology companies. I could have learned so much from more junior staff and everything else. So yeah, I love that idea and I recognize my own arrogance and how difficult I must have been in the past, but I should probably leave it there. Otherwise I will dig myself in a hole and my former colleagues will be laughing as they listen to this. Anyway, back to you, Natalie.
I actually want to add to that, Joanna, because as a coach now, as a new coach, something that I've openly, based on my own experience, I have this philosophy that I will never say no to things. I'm always, you know, open. We have a common goal when we're working or doing something. We have a common goal. Mm-hmm. My way is a way. It doesn't mean it's the right way, the fastest way. It's just in a way that I thought of. I consistently find that now the younger generation is so creative and so like powerful with the knowledge that they have, the skill sets that they have, to surpass me in every way. I do believe that they have that capability, but it's my job to nurture that and bring it out of them, to give them the empowerment to believe in themselves as a coach. And especially now that we have all these new topics, artificial intelligence, cryptocurrencies, and all these things, it's definitely changed. Even from a mentorship perspective, I would be so thrilled and happy to have a mentor who's younger than me teach me and guide me based on their experiences about these relevant topics than me myself, give it to someone else, you know? And it's, to me, it's not about age anymore, or everyone's experiences are different. When they had those experiences is also, you know, different in terms of timing. Mm-hmm. That doesn't disqualify them from giving guidance based on their experiences.
Okay, thank you. I love that. May I add something into that? What I recognize is that when I was still within the corporate environment, I had got myself to a place where I was riddled with imposter syndrome and fear. I was convinced someone's going to find out that I had no idea what I'm doing. I mean, I was director, for goodness sake. You know, I've got 2 law degrees, tax qualifications in different jurisdictions, speaking on stages all over the world. But I still didn't think I was enough. And what I recognize is that in those moments where I was reluctant to be open to this sort of thing, that maybe a more junior person have something to add to it, that came from a place of fear. That came from a place of fear that that would mean that they were putting me in question. What I've come to realize now with the passage of time is, no, it's not. It had nothing to do. There wasn't a correlation between somebody having a different idea and whether or not I was good at my job. And I think to one of the things that we raised before about what can organizations do to instill a coaching approach and everything, I think it's as well about helping our leaders, our managers, and so on, recognize that they are enough already. And I think when they're coming from a place of enoughness, just as Rade is, Rade has no concerns that he's not enough. You have no concerns that you don't know how to do your job. So when you're working with more junior people, you're like, well, this is great. 1 + 1 = 52. How can we change the world together? And I respect and admire that, because I think that's why Rade must be incredible as a coach and a mentor, because he knows that someone coming with a different idea that has no bearing on how smart or brilliant he is at his job. And I think that's incredible. And I respect that.
Thank you so much.
What do you see as the key elements of establishing and maintaining a successful mentor-mentee or coach and coachee relationship, especially when incorporating coaching principles?
I think for me, 2 of the most important elements would be trust and understanding. If you don't have trust with either your coachee as a coach or as a mentor and mentee, it becomes very difficult to be open to the idea of change. Mm. And then the side of understanding is really important as well, because though you may have certain goals and what you want to improve and what you want to get better at in your mind, understanding how the person is and how they will respond to specific, you know, feedbacks, specific, you know, ideas to improve is very important as well. The best way, I guess, with an example would be that I respond to improving myself in like strict ways. Other people may not like that. They may want something soft. They may want some more encouragement, words of affirmation, things like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas me, I prefer something direct, you know, straight, and that helps me improve. But as long as I have built that trust and understanding with the person, mm-hmm. it'll really help foster, I think, both as a mentor-mentee and coach as a coachee. I think it applies to both.
Have you noticed that with different approaches with different people?
I think in terms of the trust and understanding, I think it crosses the board. It's about creating that rapport with someone. And when you've got that rapport and understand their world, then all of these different things can come in. So I completely agree. The one thing I would add to that is the fact also that the relationship is not because the client needs fixing or is lacking in something. This is not about fixing anybody. This is about saying you're already enough and let us help you develop further within, you know, as a person. You don't need fixing. Maybe there are processes and things, behaviors that you've been doing that have not been effective. And, you know, within that, so that it's a relationship of I'm okay, you're okay, rather than I'm better than you and you're lesser than me. So, yeah.
Okay, well put. Thank you. And we've talked a lot about the generational differences. I mean, we were doing the Next Gen podcast today, but obviously Luxembourg is a very diverse place, also in the financial sector. How do you navigate sort of cultural differences when it comes to these dynamics?
I think that though all these factors seem like they're a barrier, they may actually serve as a competitive advantage to those operating in this in Luxembourg and in the financial sector, because your resource pool has increased significantly because people are coming from all around the world. Their experiences are completely different person by person. And you really have the opportunity to choose. Normally, you know, when you are working in a country where there's not as many, if I go back to the US, the mindsets are very similar. Everyone has, you know, similar objectives, but now it's not just about, you know, people from the US. I have access to, you know, people coming from France, people coming from Belgium, Germany, all the neighboring countries, and what they can offer me is completely different and even more appreciated. Mm-hmm. I've kind of also now as a coach, you know, giving my experiences as someone from the US, it's new for them too. It's something that they never expected or experienced. So though there's, you know, cultural, generational differences, in Luxembourg, it's actually an advantage to obtain as many views as you can.
Fully agree with that. Joanna, do you have thoughts on it?
I would agree. I think if I'm coaching somebody maybe from a different background or whatever else, I think it's important that I be respectful of those differences. And I think also the other thing to think about as well is that generationally different or from different backgrounds, we're all human beings. We're all having a human experience. And that goes deeper than any cultural differences, any societal differences.
Okay, thank you. We've talked a lot about the professional side. How important would you say it is on the personal side for each of you?
I think for me, it's crucial. I mean, I used to believe that work and life were different, and then I burnt out twice in 5 years. Go figure. Now I know that obviously they're completely intertwined. What I have noticed is that when I've been coaching my clients and they've got to this place of a quiet mind and a lot more calm and at peace with themselves personally and outside of work, that peace and tranquility has an impact on their work. Because with a kind of quieter mind, they're more able to make decisions in a more thought out and peaceful way. They're able to react to situations because they're feeling less stressed and frustrated and anxious about it. And because of that, then their performance goes up because of that kind of that peace and calm state.
I think it's you know. Put the nail on the head, because in my notes, the first thing I have is that it's crucial. As someone who's a believer and I just want to be better than the person I was yesterday, I think that having coaches and, you know, receiving guidance has allowed me personally to achieve so many of my own goals. And with that, like, if I didn't have that initiative, if I didn't seek out those guidances from both coaches and mentors, I wouldn't have seen as much progress in my own personal life that then, as Joanna said, flourished into the workplace, flourished, you know, outside the workplace in my social settings. And I thought it was crucial.
Great. Thank you. And just one last question for you both. Should a coach also be a mentor and vice versa? What are the benefits or challenges of that?
I think I always get a bit twitchy around questions that have a should. You know, I think here there are different roles, and we've talked about the distinction between them. Personally, for me, I think so long as I know what hat I'm wearing, this is when I'm looking to be a mentor and just offer guidance. This is where I'm looking to be a coach. And I know the intention that I'm coming to the table with, then that for me is the most important thing. I think that coaching skills for a mentor can be incredibly helpful. And the mentoring aspect of being along that path before can also add something incredibly valuable to your coach. So I think they can be very complementary. They can be very complementary. Yes.
From the perspective of someone who's looking to find a coach or have a coach and or find a mentor, I think the answer for me is yes. And like Joanna says, as long as you know what hat you're wearing and what you want out of that specific relationship, I think as long as those terms are defined, it can be very successful and fruitful to you as a person, because we don't have the answers to everything. No one person has the answers to everything. The purpose of having a coach and mentor comes back to having a resource that can guide you and help you achieve something. And gathering knowledge from all sources of, you know, people is very important as a society. We need to do it.
Thank you. This is so interesting. I think it's been really enlightening because we've touched on so many different topics in this, from imposter syndrome to burnout to these young tech gurus. Thank you both so much for taking the time today to share not just your professional experiences, but also your personal ones. A big thanks to our listeners as well, of course. As a reminder, the Alfi Finance Next Gen podcast series is available for replay on the Alfi website at alfi.lu. Alfi Next Gen Finance, connecting today's talent with tomorrow's investment fund leaders.